If you have your Bibles tonight, would you please turn to John chapter 19 and stand as we read the scriptures, if you would, please. We're continuing on with our series of the cries from the cross. John chapter 19, and I'm going to begin reading with verse number 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And then if you would turn over to Isaiah 53, kind of a last minute addition to my sermon. My message tonight is a cry of suffering. Isaiah 53 speaks about the suffering of our Lord. It says, "Who hath believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with sufferings, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities, and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment was he taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring spring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you for the glimpse it gives us of our Savior and what he experienced for each one of us on the cross of Calvary. And we ask, Lord, as we look at this cry of suffering tonight, that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and cause us to just feel a little bit of what Jesus did for us, Lord, and to raise our hearts and our mouths and our souls in praise to the Lord for all that you went through for each one of us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Basically, the King James Bible said, "I thirst." Jesus said, "I thirst." On those two words, I guess we would build our sermon tonight, and it is not my custom to build a sermon around two words, and yet those are the two words that are pertinent to what we want to think about tonight. "I am thirsty," the New International Bible says. I know that all of you probably have your stories of some time when you were very thirsty. Mine dates back to quite a few years ago. Do you know when you lived in Summerwood, Aaron? What year was that? Put him on the spot here. 82. I was a little bit younger then, a lot lighter then. And I enjoyed running then. It was before many accidents or many times of injuring myself. And one day it was about, probably 100, 105 degrees outside. And I decided I was going to go for a run on the golf course. They lived right across the street. Summerwood was from the golf course. And I was going to go run 9 holes on the golf course. And so I took off on this nice warm summer day. And I was going to run this golf course. And I started out on the first hole. And boy, was it hot. And I started running and ran the second hole and the third hole. And man, was it hot. By the time I got about to the seventh hole, I was barely moving my legs because I was so hot. I had ceased sweating. I was just beyond the point of hot. I stumbled over to one of, you know those things you wash your golf ball in, up and down, you put the golf ball in and then and they're kind of a soapy water. And I stumbled over to one of those, and no, I didn't drink it. I got some water out of there, and I splashed it on my face trying to cool off. And then I went and laid down under a tree. I was so tired and so thirsty and so hot. And I finally got up, and I staggered another hole. And then I thought, I can make it. I can make it. I stumbled into the house and landed on a chair and said, "Water, get me some water." I was so thirsty. I honestly, it was the most thirsty time in my life. You've had your experience as well. Can you imagine the water of life? Jesus said he was the water of life, saying, "I am thirsty." I believe that the thirst I experienced on that day was nothing compared to the suffering that Jesus went through and the thirst that welled up within him as he suffered on the cross. And even such a thirst as maybe you have experienced or I experienced cannot be compared with the thirst of his crucifixion. It is a long, slow process of dehydration. I've entitled my message tonight, "A Cry of Suffering." And when you think about the suffering that Jesus endured on the cross, he endured it, realize, for you tonight. And he endured it for me. He hung on that cross willingly for you and I tonight. The song says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he died alone for you and for me. And when Jesus died on that cross, he went through a suffering unlike we can imagine. I think back through the last year and a half and the suffering that I had to witness, and really the joy of being able to see Doris be released into the presence of the Lord. And yet even in that suffering, even as much as she suffered, Jesus bore not only the physical pain that we carry on our day-to-day lives, but he bore the sin of the entire world. I talked about that a little bit last week. The homosexuality and the abuse of a spouse, the vileness of alcoholism, and all of the sins of mankind and humanity. Jesus suffered the pain and the agony of experiencing those on himself on the cross. And I believe that Jesus, as he experienced that sufferings on the cross, we're going to see tonight just a little bit more of who he really is and who he was at that time, but who he is because of the sufferings that he went through on the cross of Calvary. Think about it. Think about it tonight, all that Jesus went through. First of all, there was Gethsemane. And the Bible tells us that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Then there was his arrest. Then there was a trial before Annas and Caiaphas. There was a night in the dungeon. There was a new series of trials in the morning. And all the while, he was getting weaker and weaker. And he probably didn't have anything to drink. The flogging that he experienced. And then being forced to carry his cross. And such sufferings would drain the fluids from the body. And now hanging on the cross for 6 hours of intense torture, and Jesus cries out, "I thirst, I'm thirsty." I want to show you three aspects today of a little bit of who Jesus was, that he experienced the suffering of thirst on the cross. And the first aspect that shows how he experienced his suffering was his humanity. His humanity. His thirst proved that he was indeed a man on that cross. He was the God-man as he hung there for you and I. Many in our society today find it difficult to believe that Jesus was God. They want to think of him as just a good man or something like that. But for believers, it's almost difficult to believe that he was man. We know truly that he was the Son of God, but to make himself as a man, that's a whole nother thing, people. And yet Jesus, as he hung on that cross, was every bit as much of a man as I am today. He grew up as a child. He ate. He drank. He grew weary. He became angry at injustice. He was overcome by sympathy, and the Bible tells us he wept. The definitions of the church council, first of all, the council at Chalcedon, says Christ was truly God and truly man, with the two natures united into one person, not just a manifestation of God, but the very God of very God. And yet he was also a man with a body, a soul, and a spirit. In John 8:58, Jesus is God. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And of course, that's a reference that alludes back to the Old Testament when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God said, say that I am that I am sent you. I am has sent you. And so he was truly declaring himself to be God. In John 19:28, after this, Jesus, knowing all things were accomplished, the scriptures that might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. He was truly every bit a man as you and I today, a human being as we are today. Jesus thirst. When he said, I thirst, I believe it was first of all, yes, for water, but I believe it was even more than a thirst for water. It was a thirst for God's presence. He wanted the presence of God that he had known in the past. Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2 says, as the deer panteth for the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I have known people that have been close to God. They had experienced his grace and his goodness and his love and his power and all the things that the Lord offers those who love him. They've been close to God, and they gradually slipped away further and further. We call it backsliding. Call it what you want to call it. But they fell further away from God until that hunger and that thirst wasn't there anymore. And so often, God miraculously and marvelously will take that drifting soul, and it's usually in response to the prayer of some mother or some father, and will draw them back to Christ and once again give them a thirst for the things of God. Oh, church tonight, may it not be just that Jesus hung on the cross and said, I thirst not only for water, but for the presence of God. May it be that we have that same thirst for God tonight. May when you lay your head on the pillow this night, may your heart cry out after the Lord, Lord, I thirst for you. The psalmist again says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after thee, O my God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? He was thirsty so that he might redeem us from an eternal thirst. The first aspect of who Jesus was shows us how he experienced suffering, thirst on the cross as submission. The second aspect takes us into that submission. First we see his humanity, then we see him submitting. Jesus could have created a stream of water inside his mouth, could he not? He could have created a stream of water inside his mouth. This is the one said, out of he who comes to me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus could have done that, but he didn't. The prophecy had to be fulfilled. Psalm 69:21, They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Jesus was fulfilling prophecy when he said, I thirst. John 19:28, after this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. And there was a soldier that responded that to that cry. We already read it, by putting vinegar on a sponge and lifting it up to Jesus. And lest you think that be impossible or difficult to do, the crucifixion really only took place a couple of feet off the ground, and so it wouldn't be that big of a deal for him to take a pole of some sort and lift it up to the lips of Jesus. And that's exactly what the soldier did. There was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar, and they put it up on hyssop. They put it to his mouth. And when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The soldiers did it, in their minds, only to wet his lips, but really it was a fulfillment of the prophetic word that I've already read to you. Jesus, burning with thirst, speaks to us about his deep submission to God and to the word of God. He was submissive to the plan of God. And I ask the question today, are we submissive to what God wants to do in our lives? I can tell you firsthand, it's not easy always to say yes, Lord, to what the Lord wants to do in your life. But the question is tonight, are you willing to submit to his will and say, Lord, not what I want, but what you want? Is our thirst for God greater than our physical thirst for a glass of water in the burning sun? It doesn't take much to have our fellowship with God interrupted. Some people, they get an unpleasant phone call and they go off the deep end practically. Some people, they need to skip a meal and they get, well, shall we say, crabby. Some people, they experience physical pain, a little bit of physical pain, and they cry out, oh God, where are you? Some people see injustice and they say, truly God can't be in control. It doesn't take much to have our fellowship with God interrupted. Are you willing to hold tight to Jesus? Jesus was submissive to the Father's will in everything. And the third aspect, finally, tonight of who Jesus was and showed what he experienced in his suffering thirst on the cross was his sympathy. The problem of evil and suffering on this planet is one for which I don't know that I could give you a good answer tonight. Let me say it again. The problem of evil and suffering on this planet is one for which I don't know that I could give a good answer. And then you compare that to God's love and care for the world, and there's a perplexing dichotomy there. How do we bring those two together? There's no good answer, especially when you're the one going through it. And many of you, you know what I'm talking about. You've gone through the pain. Does God really feel my pain? Let me tell you tonight, he sees all things and he knows all things. And God hasn't forgotten you. And the question tonight, Jesus was reaching out in his suffering, he said, I thirst. And I believe it was for water, and I believe it was for the presence of God. Tonight, would you cry out to him as well in whatever you're experiencing in your life and say, Lord, I thirst for you this night more than ever. The answer is at the foot of the cross. Jesus felt the pain, rejection, injustice, thirst. It's at the foot of the cross, looking up to the one who is truly the Savior and yet would stay there for you and I tonight. He could have called the 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He died for you and me tonight. Bible says we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize or sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace excuse me, to help in the time of our need. I'm going to pray a very brief prayer here in just a moment. And as I do, maybe you've been going through something and I have no idea what it might be. Tonight, would you just ask the Lord, Lord, I thirst for you. Would you show me your presence tonight? But even more than that, as you go home and lay your head on your pillow in the quiet of the darkness, would you pray a prayer and would you cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, my soul thirsts for you. And I can promise you, he is the answer to your thirst tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for each one in this sanctuary. Lord, some may be not experiencing the great need tonight that someone else is. But Lord, wherever we're at in our spiritual life and in our daily walk, if there is a need, Lord, tonight, if there is maybe a drifting from you, or perhaps there's a trial we're going through, Lord, tonight may the cry be, I'm thirsty, Lord, for you. I'm thirsty for you. Lord, I pray that you'll touch each person here tonight in the way that you need to touch them and in the way that they need tonight. Bless each one, we pray. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.